Okay, our next speaker is Robert, and he will be doing his number three speech. And to tell us the objectives of the number three speech, the evaluator tonight will be Mike. Mike, do you want us to stand up and just talk about the objectives of the speech?
Yes, so Robert, this is Robert's number three speech. It's get to the point. Robert has 5 to 7 minutes to select a speech topic and determine its general and specific purpose. Organise a speech in a manner that best achieves that purpose. Project sincerity and conviction and control any nervousness you may feel and strive not to use notes.
Very good. Okay, so Robert, with speech number three entitled Guide Dogging for Dummies. Is it about other way? So what's Robert's biggest fear? Right now is the 200 people who he agreed to say a few words tomorrow. A fear that Rob's overcome is a few years ago he couldn't speak at meetings, now you can't shut him up. But my favourite is, what is Rob's most embarrassing fear? So here's his answer to the word. Look, I know I have a huge, big, great, big guide dog, but the things I really can't stand are furry cats with sharp teeth and pointy claws. Yet they seem to love me.
Oh gosh.
With a speech entitled Guide Dogging for Dummies, Robert.
Toastmasters and esteemed guests. I can't remember if we've got any.
One.
Most esteemed guest. Very esteemed. I stand here today with what many of you might consider to be man's best friend. I have to say, he's my best friend when he does as he's told.
Oh.
Which he is doing at the moment, just about at the moment. I knew I'd speak too soon in this. Dogs, as we know, can perform many tasks for us. They can hunt for us. They can protect us. They can search out illicit substances, if I can speak. They might play frisbee in the park. But in this country, around 4,500 dogs, that's quite a lot, guide people. And it's about these ones that, rather unsurprisingly, I want to talk about today. Now, when I'm thinking about this speech at the weekend, thinking, guide dogs are a bit like the motor car that you have on your driveway at home. Yeah, I know, it's a bit strange. But, and I understand that for many people in the room, like me, your motor car is actually the district line, or the number 88 bus, or something like that, but just humour me for the moment. You wouldn't dream, if you did have a car, of jumping into that seat, of speeding away from your driveway without first knowing how that car works by reading the instruction manual. And the same is very much true of guide dogs. No guide dog owner is set loose with their dog without first enduring, and I mean enduring, 2 weeks of training in a rather drab hotel. In my case, the Euston Premier Inn. It's not as exciting as it sounds. or maybe it doesn't even sound as exciting, but enduring that training for that period of time and learning all the skills that are needed in order to work that guide dog. And I would like to impart a little bit of that information for you today. I understand that actually there's probably little use for it in your daily lives, but just in case you should walk outside of this hotel this evening and come across a guide dog and steal it and want to know how you can use it, I want to give you those skills. So first of all, I want you to leave here today knowing how to start your guide dog, where the ignition switch is effectively. I want you to know how to drive your guide dog and how to avoid hazards, in theory anyway. And I want to give you a few warnings about the dangers of members of the public, who frankly are the worst enemy of the guide dog owner. So ladies and gentlemen, I give you Guide Dogging for Dummies, which is, by the way, about him and not about what you might have been wondering about. So we will begin with part A, which is starting your guide dog, Jay. Oh, thank you very much. He's quite well behaved today, isn't he? So you'll see this fine specimen of a German Shepherd crossed with a Golden Retriever. He doesn't have an ignition switch. What he does, however, have is a bright white harness, which indicates that he's been through a heck of a lot of training. He had about a year's worth of puppy walking, where he was taught to spend on command, go to the toilet on command, that is, to walk, to go into restaurants and places and not to eat the food that's on the table. And then he was trained specifically for me and taught to go on the tube and all sorts of other exciting things. But one of the key things that he would have been taught is how to move forward. And what he was taught to do, and what I was taught to do, was to hold onto the handle like this, and then, as the manual would say, in probably a very boring tone, you stand here and you put your left foot forward and you hold onto the handle tightly and then you say forward, and in he goes. Well, it's quite well done. There are other ways of starting a guide dog, actually, though. Thank you. If anybody has a pet squirrel, show it to him and he'll be off, just like that. Another thing is, people on the tube with packets of crisps, they are like magnets to dogs. So a cautionary tale, really. When you go and try and steal your guide dog outside the building today, be careful. There are plenty of squirrels in Vincent Square. And you may be dragged on faster and further than you ever had in mind. We'll go on to section two now. Section two is driving your guide dog, or working it, as we say in the business. So guide dogs, people have different ideas about what guide dogs are there for and what their actual role is. And I tested the water a little bit with some people on the internet about what were some of the strangest things that people had suggested to them that the dog might do. And I think one of the winning ones is, and I think we all find this at times, is that people have this strange idea that the dog has this innate ability to understand where everybody everywhere is in the world. People have asked me, so you just tell the dog where you want to go, right? I want to go to 123 Victoria Street, and off he goes, and he'll take every turn and find his way there. That's utter rubbish, of course it's utter rubbish. In the same way that it's rubbish that people think on the train people genuinely ask me, intelligent sounding people say to me, "It's amazing, how did he know to get off? Well, I listened to the announcement, didn't I?" So what he actually does, what his core role in life is to walk in, it's something boring when you come down to it, is to walk in a dead straight line, avoiding people and street furniture, and stop at the next curb. It's about as boring as that, and my job is to tell him where to go. So if I'm telling you how to work your guide dog, it's about having a good knowledge of the surroundings that you're in, being prepared to give clear directions, and watching out for stupid members of the public. Which leads me on to number three. Was that Amber that I'm on now?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So number three is work is members of the public, and I've already suggested that there's some strange members of the public out there. I haven't got time to give you all the examples that I want to give you. I had somebody once who wanted to give my dog a whole sea bass. Nobody offers me free sea bass. Somebody else on the tube wanted to give him fudge. I mean, it's bizarre. People see a cute, cuddly guide dog, and the first thing they want to do is to come and distract him and stop him from doing his important task, which is ensuring that I don't get run over when I'm walking down the road. And I think that is the serious thread of what I'm trying to say here, is working a guide dog is actually really quite good fun. It certainly has enabled me to be a lot more mobile than I would otherwise have been, but it leaves understanding out there as to what we actually do the importance of not interfering with that. So I've given you some important skills that you might be able to use when you walk outside here. Oh no! I've debunked some guide dog myths along the way as well, and I can't believe I hit the horn.